What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Pirates podcast and the Locked On Phillies podcast. If you're joining us today here on YouTube at Locked On Pirates, I am, of course, your host, Ethan Smith. You can see the wonderful Dan Wilson over here of the Locked On Phillies podcast. He'll be on YouTube pretty soon. He's still not in the infancy, but he'll be there. Don't worry. You get to see his wonderful face on my channel today. But, of course, you can listen to either of these podcasts as well outside of YouTube on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much anywhere where you can find your podcasts. But, Dan, it's been a while since we talked. I think the last time we talked, the Phillies were still in playoff contention. But how are you doing today, sir?
Well, I'm doing all right. Yeah, you're right. The Phillies were in playoff contention up until pretty much the end of the season. They went down to Atlanta, lost three in a row in a sweep. They did have a chance to win the National League East, and the Atlanta Braves, everything was history from there. They struck fire, struck gold, won the World Series. And we enter yet another Phillies offseason. It's been a decade since this team has made the playoffs. I know the Pirates have quite a long drought themselves, but there's nothing like talking offseason baseball between two teams that haven't been relevant in a while.
Yeah, and of course, two teams that haven't been relevant in a while. But of course, the people that are relevant to us are our people who listen. So thank you for making us the first listen of your day every single day, even if the episodes come out pretty late. Just some scheduling stuff that happened today. But of course, Dan, there is the inevitability of an off season, and you know, the off season can either be a major win for your team, where it could be a major loss. And I think both teams here, the Phillies and the Pirates, both of us being fans of these teams, definitely know the ramifications of an offseason that can be very bad. Of course, last year for me, Jameson Taillon, Josh Bell, and Joe Musgrove out the door. Phillies, of course, the big Bryce Harper deal has not led to a playoff game yet, so that's been kind of interesting as well. But with this offseason, of course, we're dealing with something different. And it's the CBA. And the CBA, of course, all reports seem to point at the fact that by December 2nd, we are going to be facing a work stoppage. Everything is going to stop. Like, we're just not going to see anything going on. How does that affect with the Phillies? And maybe even if you have a take on the Pirates, how does that affect what teams in general are going to do here in the offseason with it already being November 11th at the time of recording? How does that, like, change things based on the fact that teams might have less than a month to do anything?
Yeah, I mean, of course, it changes everything, right? There's certainly kind of a shot clock on the offseason as we stand right now. It certainly seems like these two sides are headed for a labor dispute. Everyone who's close to the situation, you read anything, you follow any of the insiders, whatever the case might be, these two sides don't like to get along. Like, the Players Association, the owners, they do not see eye to eye on many things, to the point where many are predicting that we might delay pitchers and catchers, might delay spring training. Hell, we might even delay the 162-game season. So if baseball is effectively not operating, I mean, does that mean the entire, like, you think of all the possibilities, right? Does that mean the entire offseason essentially needs to take place between now and the next 3 to 4 weeks, between now and December 2nd? Does that mean that they're going to return just in time because pressure require, you know, outside pressure is like, all right, well, we're about to miss some games, so let's actually get something done here in the 11th hour after being in a stalemate for 3-4 months, whatever the case might be. Does this lead to an interesting scenario where we kind of see free agency and trades a little bit like you see in the NBA or the NFL, where it all takes place at once? I mean, you mentioned Bryce Harper. There's nothing, no one in Philadelphia fails to remember that, you know, he didn't sign until February 28th. It took all offseason. And these stalemates, when it comes to free agency in baseball, because there's no salary cap, because it's just a never-ending negotiating war because of the nature of the sport and owners spending their money versus, say, an agent like Scott Boras, those negotiations can go on for quite some time. And a labor stoppage in this case would certainly speed that process up. Of course, we have a big shortstop class headed this offseason. It seems unlikely that those guys would all be signed by the labor stoppage. So I don't know. Anything is essentially on the table here, so to speak. You know, how the offseason is affected. If there is the threat of losing games, do we see teams not as willing to spend money? Do we, you know, what? Who knows is basically what's going to happen. Who knows? And this is the last thing, by the way, baseball needs at this current juncture. It took them forever to get a 60-game season together in the year 2020. You finally get a 162-game season on the table and executed in the year 2021. You welcome fans back. And I actually thought it was a pretty good, you know, year for baseball. You know, you saw the Atlanta Braves kind of prove that just getting in the playoffs is really all you need sometimes, that there is parity in the sport, that a team ending a drought is always a good thing for a sport. You also saw, you know, a game played in a cornfield in the Field of Dreams game. Like you saw ratings in the year 2020 and 2021. You know, people were interested in baseball, and certainly there's still issues with the length of the game, the different rule changes that they may or may not carry over. Do we have a DH long term? A lot of things that baseball needs to figure out in this CBA moving forward. But it almost feels like the last thing they need after what happened in 2020 and then a bounce back year in 2021 is, hey, we're going to threat, like, we might miss some games, or we're even going to go through an offseason that isn't the usual proceeding. So that's kind of where I'm at on this. In terms of how that affects the Phillies, I mean, look, they might spend some money. They're not going after someone like Bryce. I don't think it's out of the question that they might target one of these shortstops, although it does seem like all indications are that Bryson Stott will be, you know, player coming up through the minors, will be the team's opening day shortstop. I think the Didi Gregorius experiment, if you will, has run its course. But in terms of, like, what it means for this offseason and this for the Phillies in general, I mean, they certainly have a number of needs. I know something we're going to get into a little bit later is, you know, they need a center fielder, a left fielder. They need bullpen help. And trying to fix your team is hard enough when you have an entire offseason. When you're up against the gun, I mean, maybe players sign more, they're more quick to sign deals. Let's say if there was a labor stoppage from December through February, and then everyone kind of comes back in March and says, all right, everyone's going to go get on a team now. But I don't see a scenario where a labor stoppage helps a team trying to rebuild with a number of holes, so to speak, because you would prefer to have all off season. Again, this is an off season I'm excited for, with Dave Dombrowski for the first time having a full off season to himself. He got hired last year in December, kind of figuring things out. First 162 game season back. Originally he was going to be heading the Nashville plan to have a team in Nashville expansion. That got halted due to COVID, and kind of his backup was taking over the Phillies as, not technically GM, but president of baseball operations. And now that we're actually in it and he has a full off season, and, you know, he's hired Preston Mattingly to head the player development in minor leagues, essentially. And just today they hire a new assistant general manager from the Tampa Bay Rays. It really seems like he's trying to put his full imprint on this team, have a full impact. He knows what it takes to win. So let's see what Dave Dombrowski can do. But the labor stoppage is going to get in the way of that in any way, shape, or form. That's not good news for the Phillies.
Yeah, and it's not good news for the Pirates either, because a lot of the stuff that's been centered around one of the sides, obviously the players, is Ben Cherington has already expressed years of control is one of the biggest things that he cares about right now. And one of the biggest things that you see from what the union wants is they want less arbitration years so that these guys can get paid quicker, because a guy like Wander Franco, as of right now, is not going to get his major contract until like 2025, unless they decide to give him that major extension. But you look at the guys the Pirates debuted last year, right at the end of the year, Rowenzi Contreras, O'Neill Cruz, those guys are not going to get paid for a while. You have Brian Reynolds, who we're going to talk about later, as a potential trade candidate, just because you don't know if the Pirates are going to pay him or not. And that's realistically where you're sitting in terms of the CBA. And it doesn't help anybody. It really doesn't, because there's just so many different things on the table right now for both of these sides. Like, of course, the owners want to save money because they're people and want to save their own money. Of course, players want to make more money. Of course, there's the possibility of shortening the season a little bit. There's a possibility of shortening arbitration, salary cap, salary floor. Baseball could change the way we know it by the course of 3 months. And how does that affect teams like the Pirates and kind of the Phillies too, who haven't seen the playoffs in a while? You have to restructure how you build your entire team based on how this changes. I mean, especially the Pirates, who are really building the framework to build a team kind of like the Phillies to compete in the play, like for a playoff spot. But it's also, you can't really do that if you don't know how the game is going to be played in 3 months' time. I mean, you don't know if you're going to have a DH heading into next year. You don't know if you're going to have any kind of stuff that can happen. I mean, literally anything with the CBA stuff, people before me, of course, have covered it like way before me, and it's happened way plenty of times. They know more than about it than me, but I at least know something about it from seeing the NBA lockout because I follow the NBA a lot. These kind of things are not fun. They're just not. And Dan, you can see Dan obviously here on YouTube shaking his head yes, because he understands this kind of stuff is not fun, because then it gets down to us where what do we talk about? Because nothing can happen. We're just going to be monitoring the CBA.
Lockout day number 47. You ready to buckle up for it?
Yeah, I know, right? It's going to be like Locked On Lockout. It's going to be like Locked On Lockout. We're just going to be doing diaries.
That could be a fun idea, actually. I think we're spearheading a good idea here, where when this lockout inevitably starts, and no one's going to really care too much, you know, in December or January, February, pitchers and catchers, once they're not reporting, spring training games start.
That's when people care.
That's when people will begin to care. And so it is interesting that we could be headed in that direction, but I think it's a great idea. I think we should host the Locked On Lockout show. We update what number day of the lockout it is every single day. We give the latest. It's a stalemate. Be like, wow, the side's made no progress today. That's our show today, folks.
Yeah,
that could really be a fun idea.
It's kind of like when you're on watching the news and they're just telling you about stocks, and you're just kind of like, okay, cool. The stock literally didn't
stock market didn't move at all today, or the day before that.
back to you, Dan, on weather. It's like, yeah, there you go. But
we could do the Locked On Lockout weather report. We could just start talking about anything, you know.
Realistically, at that point, like ballpark food, you could be talking about anything. Me and Dan are onto something here. But before we move on for the rest of this podcast, I do want to let you guys know about the wonderful people over there who I can't seem to win money from at betonline.ag. For any of your betting needs, do not listen to me for anything. I don't win anything. It's okay. I understand it. It's fine. I bet the Steelers to cover the other night against the Chicago Bears and the under. Obviously, that did not happen. But if you want to go win some money, betonline.ag is the place to go. We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines are here and more than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile device website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Meaning if you don't put in one unit, which is $100 on your first deposit, they will match half of that, giving you $50 of free money when you use the promo code Locked On to receive that bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, which is now done, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games like blackjack and slots. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Again, I don't win that often, so don't listen to anything I say. I was on the Locked On Bulldogs podcast because I am a UGA fan and said we are going to win and cover by 20.5. So do not be surprised if Georgia wins 40-20 on Saturday and does not cover for the first time all season. Anyways,
hashtag fade Ethan. Is this going to be a new running thing?
It can be. I mean, yeah, because once the season starts, I mean, I'm going to start talking about this stuff. And I mean, I'm already mad because breaking news, Brian Reynolds did not win a Silver Slugger. So this is kind of a good segue. It was Nicholas Castellanos, Juan Soto, and Bryce Harper. Not surprised. Cool. That's not surprising at all. I'm just allowed to be mad because Brian Reynolds had a very good year, but you know,
he did. Well, first we got to tell the people that Locked On Phillies and Locked On Pirates, thank you for making that your first listen every single day. We're free and available on all platforms. Now back to Brian Reynolds discussion. Yes.
Yeah, of course. And the thing is too, is I mean, Brian Reynolds, if it was a by outfield position award, he probably would have won considering he led all of Major League Baseball for center fielders in OPS, but it's not. So usually right fielders dominate that award because right fielders are usually the dominant hitters in the outfield. But now that's a good segue into Brian Reynolds. Wish we had Locked On Mariners host here, because this is the part where I will go ahead and give full disclosure to everybody listening to this podcast. I warned Dan before we started about my tweet saying that I would be very angry. I am tired, sick and tired of seeing Brian Reynolds trade talk. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to see it on my timeline anymore, because I think Ben Cherington made it evidently clear how untouchable Brian Reynolds is by asking for Julio Rodriguez from the Seattle Mariners, who is their number two overall prospect. Now, keep in mind, the Mariners have a top five, top 10 farm system, depending on what website you look at for rankings. The Yankees have also apparently asked for Brian Reynolds. And the talk started with Jashon Dominguez. Everybody knows who that is. The dude is a stud. He's great. But guess what? That's really telling you a lot about how much Ben Cherington values this man. And he should, for the right reasons. And this is what I say about it. Extend him. I've been saying it for 5 months. Just extend the guy. He's a Silver Slugger nominee, Gold Glove nominee, All MLB nominee. You have him until 2025 if he stays on arbitration. Just extend the guy. He's 26. Like, they're overthinking this. And a reason I brought this up with you is because I was bringing up teams that have apparently inquired about Brian Reynolds, and it includes the Marlins. That's an interesting one. The Phillies and the Yankees. What kind of trade, Dan, do you think that your Phillies would have to make to put two Silver Slugger nominee and two all-star outfielders in your outfield at the same time, considering you're also looking at another former Pirates outfielder in Starling Marte?
Yeah, so I'm not going to tell you that they have a better – if the bar is better than Jason Dominguez from the Yankees, they might be hard-pressed to match it. There have been trade rumors circulating. I mean, this is what we do here in the offseason, right? And especially with the Phillies. Like, anyone could enter trade rumors. I saw Gene Segura in a few trade rumors today. The Phillies farm system certainly lacks talent as far as those other teams you just listed that are interested. So I don't know if they have what it takes to get him, if they're asking more than Dominguez, let's say. But in terms of, from a Phillies perspective, like, Brian Reynolds would make a hell of a lot of sense. Guy, as you mentioned, can play the outfield. He fills one of the spots. Phillies need a left fielder and a center fielder. The Brian Reynolds certainly would fill that center field spot in terms of how he played this season. Had his best season of his career in the year 2021. There's a reason why you wouldn't want to get rid of him. The question is the direction of the Pirates. Brian Reynolds is what? How old? 27
at max.
27? Okay. Yeah, he's been in the bigs 3 seasons. So he came up when he was around 24, 25. He's 27-ish now. Guy entering the prime years of his career just proved that he is a bona fide major league hitter, guy that you can stick in the middle of your lineup, and he fits a positional need for the Phillies. Like, I'd be all in on Brian Reynolds. Now, like I said, I don't know what they can send to get him. I don't know what the Pirates would be interested for the Phillies. I don't know what your thoughts on a guy like Gene Segura are, because I'd rather have Brian Reynolds than a guy like Gene Segura, quite frankly. So I don't really know. I mean, this is not the first time we've heard a guy playing really. I think the last time we spoke, it was just after the trade deadline. And it was just after, was that just after Richard Rodriguez had been dealt?
Yes, to Atlanta, which to is Atlanta. Shocking because he didn't even play on their postseason roster for most of the year.
Yeah. So, but that was right after that. I was saying, all right, I'm all in the Phillies going after Richard Rodriguez because it fits a need. They need bullpen help. Dave Dombrowski has already said that they still need bullpen help. So that would certainly be quite interesting. In on Brian Reynolds, more than Jason Dominguez. Don't know if the Phillies have that to offer. Perhaps with asks like that, maybe this early in the offseason. That's the type of ask that you turn down early in trade negotiations. Like, if they're committed to dealing Brian Reynolds, let's say, you enter a lockout, you come back before the season, you say, all right, we're still trying to deal him. Now suddenly, maybe you wait it out. Teams that haven't figured out what they're doing in center field yet, Philly swoop in with a late deal. We've now seen, we saw some of the trades the Braves made. I'm not suggesting that Eddie Rosario and Jorge Soler are in the same conversation as Brian Reynolds, certainly the season that he had. But, I mean, they traded away basically nothing for those guys in the middle of the year. So this is the type of guy that if he continues to have a good season in 2022, if there is a season, maybe he gets dealt, you know, midway there. But I would love Brian Reynolds in Philly for what it's worth.
I imagine a lot of people would like Brian Reynolds on their team. And one of the people that really enjoys Brian Reynolds on their team is me, Ethan Smith of the Locked On Pirates podcast. And I would love to, you know, not see him leave. because what is the advantage? I'll ask you, actually. That's my question. What is the advantage of trading Brian Reynolds for Jusson Domínguez or Julio Rodríguez?
You're trying to get yourself good a few years from now as opposed to a guy currently in his prime. I mean, it's got to be a timeline thing. Or you believe that Brian Reynolds isn't really this good. He has his OPS this past year was 912. It was 632 in the pandemic season. And in 2019, it was good. But maybe you just expect him to be an inconsistent yo-yo from year to year. And you got to sell on him when he's in the prime years of his career, sell high, and the Pirates aren't ready to win right now.
Oh, well, we all know that. I mean, but
so that has to be what it is.
Yeah, and Ben Cherington has also said, like, we want to extend him. I just don't see what they're waiting for. Because if he does – so this is the logic that I've been using. If he does this again, say he literally – and it's impossible to do this. But say he literally replicates his statistics from this year and you just put him in 2022, maybe 0.05 around, like, everything. So, like, his OPS maybe drops or goes up, but he's around that area. He's only going to get more expensive. That's all I say. He's only going to want more money. And you're not a team that spends money naturally and historically. You do not
spend money. And then all the more reason to trade him. You can get top value for him now. I mean, he came up in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know at what point he came up in 2019, but this guy's got 4 to 5 years, 3 to 4, 4 or 5 club years or years of club control remaining before you would have to pay him. It's attractive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And that's the thing where it's either you have, but I would rather them make this decision now or make it now. Like, you're making this decision now. You either are saying we're committed to you.
You're not ready for the Brian Reynolds trade is what you're telling me.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you either need to do it or not do it. And that's basically where we're at with this, you know? And realistically, if they decide to do it, I mean, that's what they do. I mean, I've seen everybody that I've loved from when I've started watching this team be traded before. So, I mean, but at that point, if you're trading Brian Reynolds, everybody's available, right? Like, I mean, at that point, because people have asked me, they're like, compare his untouchability to another player. And the first guy that came to mind when I was asked that question was, oh God, I can't even remember. It was actually, who was it? Now I'm blanking. Now I look like an idiot. But basically, I remember now, Juan Soto. That was kind of where I was. Would it really shock you if the Nationals decided to move on from Juan Soto if they were to get a ridiculous offer?
I mean, I guess you'd listen. I would be surprised if they deal Juan Soto, to be honest.
I mean, I would as well. I mean, the guy's a generational talent, but you look at Reynolds and who you could compare him alongside in terms of statistics and everything. I mean, you could include guys like Starling Marte, Teoscar Hernandez, in some light, Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper hits way more home runs and he's a much better power hitter. Also, Bryce Harper makes what, like $35 million more a year than him?
Well, no, he gets $330 million over 13 years, but it's really only like 26 and a half per year.
Okay, so 22 million more. Okay.
He took longevity, yeah.
He's still pretty much making more money than the entire Pirates roster. But yeah. The whole point of everything I was saying, I mean, if Brian Reynolds does end up anywhere, Dan, I'm going to be honest, I would rather it just be an in-state team. I've seen McCutchen go over there and have fun.
I'll take it.
I would rather him go, so, like, if he's going to get traded, like, this is what my wish would be. Not the Yankees, not the Astros, not the Dodgers, not any team in our division. Send them, not Atlanta, just because I don't really like Atlanta either. Just that, because, I mean, I've even talked about him going to Atlanta, and I was like, I just don't see that either, especially when all those outfielders went away. But before we finish up on that, we're going to send you off to our sponsors real quick. I think I've said enough about Brian Reynolds. We are sending you off to them real quick. They have some stuff to say to you, and we will be right back. All right, Dan. Well, we've talked a lot about Brian Reynolds and his stuff. Of course, as we were recording today, he did not win a Silver Slugger, but we might as well talk about a guy who did. Bryce Harper, of course, wins the Silver Slugger Award. Has just an astronomical really good season for the most part. I mean, I don't see any Phillies fan saying he had a bad year. Haven't seen it at all. And I know Philly or like Philadelphia fans are very ruthless people from being a Pittsburgh fan. I know that they are very ruthless in terms of how they treat their players and stuff, all for good reasons, of course. But should Bryce Harper win the MVP award? Now you look at who he is probably going to be up against. More than likely, you're going to see the likes of Juan Soto, Fernando Tatis Jr., and then you could maybe throw a pitcher in there. But I don't know if they've announced a finalist for MVP yet, but I'm sure that would be who would be in that realm. Give me your reason why Bryce Harper should win MVP.
Well, he had the highest OPS in baseball, highest OPS in the National League by about 43 percentage points. I think he was just the flat-out best player down the stretch of the season. This guy, you remember, wasn't even an all-star. And people, you know, Juan Soto should be remarked how well he played down the stretch of the season. Bryce Harper, literally just a notch better, finished with 35 home runs. It was the only reason the Phillies had a winning record for the first time in 10 years, which is nothing to celebrate. But, I mean, he was single-handedly keeping them in it. This guy takes walks when he needs to. By the way, with a lineup around him that was horrible, dreadful by the end of the year. Now, that's not to say Juan Soto didn't have the same thing, but I think a few things factor into why he's going to win. Number one is there's really no argument to be made that either the other guys, like, quote-unquote, got their team to the postseason. I don't think really getting your team to the playoffs should affect MVP a whole lot in a sport like baseball anyway.
No, it's a much more individual award. That's what I say. It's a much more
individual thing. Padres didn't make the playoffs. Nationals were horrible. Philly, and those are the only two guys, Tatis and Soto, who are up for the award. I think Bryce Harper is flat out the best offensive player. And so I just don't think, like, look, those other two guys had really, really good seasons, but I think by most metrics, he was the best hitter in the National League. And again, it's impressive considering this guy was literally not on the All-Star team.
Now, I have a question too, as you're advocating for this, and I don't know if you know off the top of your head, but when was the last time a player won MVP and wasn't an All-Star?
That any player won MVP and wasn't an All-Star?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to this question either. I don't know why. I thought you might know as well, but
yeah, that's actually something that I should know. I thought you were going to ask me the last time the Philly won MVP, and I was ready to say, you know, Ryan Howard 2006, or Ryan Howard had a 2006 season, but Jimmy Rollins also had a 2007 season. Those two guys went back to back, and there hasn't been an MVP from the Phillies since. And that, you know, if history is any indicator, that was kind of a little bit of a pre-tease to the Phillies eventually winning the World Series in 2008.
Yeah.
Last player to win the MVP and not be an All-Star. That's like a question in any sport, right? Like, who literally doesn't qualify for the All-Star team and wins the MVP? I mean, certain, you know, football guys sit out of the Pro Bowl all the time and it's an end of season type of thing.
Yeah.
But in terms of basketball, hockey, baseball, mid-season MVP, like mid-season All-Star, and the guy turns it up, it almost seems impossible to happen in basketball because guys make the All-Star team on their name value all the time, and there's less fluctuation in who's good and who isn't. I do not know the answer to that question. It is an excellent question. I do not know it. Should know it. It's something I'm going to have to look into.
Now, as far as looking at other sports from Googling it while you were saying that, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar never won an All-Star Game MVP, but he played in the most All-Star games at the time with 18. So that's something interesting.
Like I said, Bryce Harper, forget not winning MVP of the game, like literally did not qualify for the team.
Yeah, and then I guess if we're talking All-Star-wise, Kirk Gibson, of course, the major L.A. Dodger, was never officially made an All-Star. He declined invitations from it. But this would take some top three MLB MVPs to not make the All-Star team. Actually, here we go. As we see, me and Dan really like to do just the whole, like, by the book thing, you know, just have fun. Okay, here we go, actually. Justin Morneau of the Minnesota Twins. He was the first the Twins first baseman would go to win the AL MVP, but he was not an All-Star.
What year did he win that?
2006.
Okay, he did. I couldn't remember if he won it with Howard or Rollins. He won it with Howard.
Yeah. Hank Greenberg of the Detroit Tigers in 1935 would also do it, totaling AL leading 36 home runs and 168 RBIs. On top of that, he had a 328 average. And then Don Newcomb of the Brooklyn Dodgers would won the first ever Cy Young Award in 1956, but was not an All-Star. So I believe three players before have done it. Can Bryce Harper become the fourth? That is a big question here.
I believe he will be. It'll be a week from today. I'm putting my money. He's the odds-on favorite. I do think it'll be really quick before we wrap part one of our conversation here up. I was thinking about this, right? This is actually a rant I had the other day on the podcast. Don't you think we should, at this point, like, because hitters and pitchers are kept so separate with the exception of Ohtani, like, if Ohtani continues to have seasons like this, like, he's just broken the AL MVP award, right? Like, being pretty good at pitching and being pretty good at hitting combined, you're just going to win the MVP. And I feel like the Cy Young Award is like, all right, that award is reserved for only pitchers. The MVP, it's most of the time only hitters, but, like, pitchers are eligible to win it. But the Hank Aaron Award, which is theoretically the hitter's equivalent to the Cy Young Award, is announced a week in advance and doesn't really get the same level of street cred that the other one. Like, at this point, doesn't it make sense to just have, like, a Hank Aaron Award and a Cy Young Award? Doesn't having an MVP, Bryce Harper already won Silver Slugger, Hank Aaron Award. Like, if he's the best hitter, how often is there something outside of a player's offensive game, unless he's a catcher maybe, that would, or just like an absolute stud in the outfield, and it was otherwise really close? How often is the winner of the Hank Aaron Award not winning the MVP anyway?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And I mean, you could look at that across all sports, realistically, especially football. Now, I mean, most people just consider the Heisman Trophy and the, like, and the
offensive award. NFL.
It's an offensive award. And
Charles,
I would say,
the one exception to the rule. Yeah.
And I would also say that 9 times out of 10, it's a quarterback award. Of course, we saw that, and you would know being a Phillies fan or a Philadelphia fan. Devontae Smith won it last year as a receiver, but 9 times out of 10, a quarterback's winning that award. But I also pose the question outside of the sport, and I agree with what you're saying, is like Shohei Ohtani, realistically, being the player that he is, should be winning both of those awards. He's doing it at the same time. There's not too many
guys. Like, he's going to win the MVP, but you could be the third best pitcher and the third best hitter at the same time, and that makes you the MVP. Where in reality, I feel like if he's the best pitcher in the league, he gets Cy Young. If he's the best hitter in the league, he should get Hank Aaron. Why do we have an award that combines the two?
Yeah, exactly. And
comparing,
I mean,
apples and oranges. So that's my only last thing, but I had to get in there.
I mean, it's kind of valid. It's a valid talk. It really is. And I mean, but this is also what I said too, until Tennessee went and won Sunday night. Derrick Henry getting hurt, I think if he didn't get hurt, he was probably going to win the MVP this year.
We've seen running backs win it.
Yeah, it's been a while. I will say that. It's been a long time. But Dan, this is, again, as Dan mentioned, this will be a nice little two-parter kind of deal thing going on. So this is part one of our Locked On crossover. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this part of it. And again, I mean, if you want to share your thoughts, guys, should Bryce Harper win MVP, you can follow that down here. Of course, you can follow me and Dan on Twitter at the little stuff down here at @MVP_Ethan and at @Dan_Wilson4. We will catch you on part two. And if you enjoyed part one, make sure you check part two as well on both of our channels, guys. Thank you so much. See you on the flip side.